You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. And to this week, we are on lesson number five. It's saying excuses to avoid mission there. So make sure that you go to ssnet.org in order for you to follow us. And we are joined on the line by Pastor Joseph Farah, who's going to be helping us understand so that we may not have excuses. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and how are you doing?
I am good, Pastor. I hope that you are well. Your weekend was lovely.
I know it was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Amen. Before we get into the study, my pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Sure. Shall we pray? Our dear Lord in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity that you've given us that we may learn of your word. We are grateful for what you're doing in our lives and the protection that you continue to render to each one of us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, our lesson is saying excuses to avoid mission. You may take us through the Sabbath afternoon introduction as well as the Sunday lesson.
Okay, so at the end of the week, we will be looking at the excuses that happened in the past and the excuses that we give so that we can just avoid doing God's business. And so when we are looking at the introduction, I think the introduction is married to Sunday as well. We are looking at the memory text is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think we are getting our theme for exploring the mission for the world church.
Mm.
Prophet Isaiah is saying, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, Lord, send me."
Mm-hmm.
So as we appreciate the introduction for Sabbath afternoon, I would like to emphasize that when God asks Isaiah this rhetorical question, it is in the presence, you know, Isaiah is taken in the vision, and he is in the presence of angels. And prior to this question, Isaiah has just observed one angel. When this angel speaks, the whole heaven is filled with smoke, and the whole earth quakes, and it just shakes with just one voice.
Mm.
And you know, Isaiah, as he's standing in the midst of all these, then he hears a question like, how usually African adults usually treat the youngest amongst them, where they will just say, "I am thirsty, I need some water to drink, I don't know how I am going to drink that water." They will not tell you to say, "Hey, young man, go and get the water."
Mm.
They will just expect you to to apply wisdom.
Mm.
And so this is the situation Isaiah finds himself. I mean, before the throne of God, there are these angels where one can just speak and the whole quakes. And if God wanted to communicate to the whole world, he could just use one angel. And with one announcement, the whole world trembles and they listen to the message. And yet God asks a simple question to say, "Who will go for us?"
Mm.
And Isaiah is there looking around and says, probably in a timid voice, and he says, "Here am I, Lord, please send me." And this is bravery on the part of Isaiah. He does not give an excuse and says, "Hey, that angel is more powerful than me. Why can't he go?" He doesn't do that.
Mm.
And so as we get to Saturday afternoon,
uh-huh,
we have been blessed with a typical story of somebody who gave something that looks like a genuine excuse.
Okay.
Here is Bradona, and this guy is an upright man. He fears God, and God spots him out because he is an honorable man.
Mm.
And tells him, "It is no secret. The happenings in Nineveh, they are just too much.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of wickedness going on there." But again, I should be quick to mention that in this place in Assyria, those guys have got their own gods. And at this time, God is only God in Israel.
Hmm.
And so he instructs. Now this becomes an international operation.
Mm.
It becomes a mission, because Jonah is requested to go to a place where his God is unknown.
Mm.
And upon whose authority will he do that? It's different when you invite me to say, Pastor, come and preach here in South Africa, or go and preach in Zimbabwe, or things like that. We have already an established system. So it is easier for me to ride on the protocols of the church,
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm going for this campaign, because the systems are already established.
Mm.
But for Jonah, that is not the case. Even God is not known. The people of Nineveh know about God. He is from Israel. And that God of Israel he has no jurisdiction. He has no place here in our territory. And so probably Jonah puts the pros and cons together. He says, hey, by the way, how far is it from here to Nineveh? It's only about 840 kilometers. But if that journey, I can only decide to go to Tarshish, which is about 3,000 kilometers.
Mm.
So Jonah is comfortable taking 3,000 kilometers to go as far as he can away from the mission station where he has been called, and he is not interested in going there. And the question now that begs an answer is why? Mm. Why should Jonah be comfortable to go to 3,000 kilometers distance and neglect the 540 kilometers, I mean the 800 kilometers.
Mm.
The reasoning is simple. You will appreciate this, that according from the pages of history,
yeah.
and the world civilization, the people of Assyria, under the leadership of Sennacherib, they are known to have been number one, the world's savages. There has been no kind of people who have been so barbaric, so brutal, like the people of Assyria,
okay.
under the leadership of Sennacherib at this time.
Mm.
No one else in the history of this world. These are the people actually who introduced the concept of colonialism. These are the people who introduced the idea of acculturation.
Mm.
By the way, the people spoke the language called Aramaic. And whoever they terrorized, they needed to actually put your culture, your language into extinction so that you can only be your if you are a black person, you will only be black in skin.
Mm.
But in your mind you must be a person from Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how deep these people were. And when Jonah looks at what is at the table, he fears for his life.
Mm.
He fears for his life. I don't know if you could have a question or something concerning this aspect of our lesson.
No, Pastor, you can continue there. You can continue. I have a lesson on the other one, but not this one. This one is okay.
Okay. So that is the setting.
Mm.
That is the setting. Actually, when you connect to Sunday, you read the account from Nahum.
Mm-hmm.
They are describing a bloody city, a city of lies. Let me paint the picture very clear, so that you can understand, if at all we will have room to understand Brother Jonah. The setting is that these people of Nineveh enjoyed seeing people in pain, you know.
Mm.
They would cause you to pain till you die. Let me put it this way. When you are found wanting,
mm-hmm.
when you are an enemy of these people, whether a foreign national or a local person, they will mutilate your body parts one by one.
Hey.
They will begin to flare your skin, you know. They will remove the skin on your face and remove the skin saver so that nobody will recognize who you are, because you will be a skeleton while you are still alive. They could get something like a pliers, pluck out tooth by tooth. Probably when they pluck out one tooth, they will not go immediately to the next tooth. They could wait 3 hours so that the pain can subside. And then when the pain subsides, then they go for another tooth so that you can enjoy fresh pain again, you know. So that is how these people would operate. And one of the distinct methods of killing, they what they called the quartering method. In the quartering method, they would use four horses with four horsemen on the four horses. And they would make sure they put them in the other horse facing north, the other one south, east and west. Then they would put you in between those four horses. So one tied to one horse, the other hand tied to another horse, and then your leg and the other leg. And so you have been tied both hands and legs to these horses. And then at an instruction, all the horses, they take off and you are quartered and you die. You die in that manner. And so Jonah looks at all this and say,
I'm not going.
3,000 is okay.
Yeah.
3,000 kilometers, it's all right. Let me go there. I think I love my... I go to understand this whole love.
You know?
how can... this is Mission Impossible. So now, Nahum says that this is a bloody city. It's a city that is, when you read Nahum 3, verse 1 to 4, he is saying this is a city with people full of lies. You know, it's like a people who could just wake up and say, what kind of sin are we going to invent today? What other wrong thing haven't we done? It appears like we are not updating our evil softwares. Let's get to speed and think of what other evil can we do. And so this was the order of the day. And when you're talking of witchcraft, it was something that they could size on each other and see who is who. And when you're talking of prostitution, all these were vices that were daily. And then when you look at the attacks that the leaders of Assyria, like Sennacherib, he could attack Israel at will. And so Israel lived in fear and things like that. And so God says, no, this is too much. There should be a message and there should be a messenger. And so God has a message and he impresses the burden of his message on Jonah. When Jonah looks at the people who are supposed to be the recipient of the message, and he looks at himself, probably he looks at his personality, he says, I can't. I can't manage, because those guys are continuously evil. And so he decides to just chicken out. And so probably the question that comes to say, after this explanation that I have given, probably some people could say, I think Jonah was right.
Yes. Would you go, Pastor? Wait, Pastor, would you go?
I may reserve my...
You see? So Jonah was right.
we could be tempted. We could be tempted, yes, to think. But the bigger picture is Jonah forgot to appreciate the one who was sending him. Jonah felt alone. When he looked at the things that were going to happen to him, he forgot that he was not going to go on his terms, but he was going to go on God's terms, because it is God who is sending him on the mission. So God was going to take care of the welfare, the well-being of Jonah, and that's the prerogative of God. Because if you are sitting comfortably at your home, it is God who is protecting you. So Jonah looked at the problems to be bigger than the protection of the one who is sending him to go for the mission.
Mm.
And I think that is the biggest mistake that Jonah made. And this is our mistake as well. Yeah, this is usually our mistake because we are looking at things like, by the way, I mentioned that the people of Assyria, they spoke Aramaic.
Yes.
And then the people where Jonah is coming from, they were speaking the Hebrew language.
Mm-hmm.
But so, in my imagination, for God to pick out Jonah, it could be that Jonah was able to speak Aramaic.
Mm.
Because these people of Assyria, they had that influence and they had dominated in terms of business and things like that. So Aramaic became like the medium, the language, like we are communicating, you know, we are mm-hmm. speaking English, not our language.
Mm.
So Aramaic was like the business language for international trade and things like that. So Jonah could have been suitable that he could speak the language, because if he could not speak the language, how else was he going to communicate to the people of Nineveh if he was not in that, if he was not in that position? So when God is sending us, I think we have disappointed God several times. Sometimes we could have a message, but when we look at the people and what they are saying, we could rightly have the message, but sometimes we could edit the message and then say what people want to hear. We may not really have the problem of, hostile people, but it could be the difference in terms of class.
Mm.
It could be in terms of education. It could be the difference in terms of this and that.
Mm.
And so sometimes we have compromised on certain things because we want to be accepted.
Mm.
We want to be absorbed into the system. And so we may fear to speak out the burden, the burden that the Lord could be impressing on our minds and our hearts, that we may deliver. And ultimately, we may not find peace.
Mm.
So I think that's my take on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
In some.
And seeing that, Pastor, you know, when you were explaining those things about how they would, you know, cut off your face and so forth and so on, it would be, you know, people might be understanding towards Jonah, but now when we bring it into our into this current era, you know, there are few places. Not that I, if I want to think, you know, where they do that. But there are a lot of situations that make us not to go on to God's mission, you know. So if they were to call me now and say, Zanele, pack up your bags now, go to Zambia, I might think a million times, you know, before I go. Just a matter of relocating. Yet there are other issues that you know, that bring fear into us, saying, as much as I do want to go, but, you know. So how can we now overcome that fear? Because this is not our mission. I think the lesson ever since this quarter has been telling us that it's not our mission. So I should not fear, but have trust in God. But still, there's that human nature thing. Where are you going? Where is Zambia? Where? You know? And even South Africa as well. Where is South Africa? You want to find all the details that are there before you decide. So how then do you overcome that and fulfill God's mission?
I think the best safety is, like I mentioned earlier, understanding who is sending you. And you don't really need to know much about the place where you are going, because that one would really inspire a lot of fear instead of you to look at. I think the issue should be more on dedicating yourself to prayer. That, Lord, I may not be familiar with the place where I'm going, and I don't know how the people will receive this message.
Mm.
But then the issue is that I am not the message. I am simply the messenger.
Mm.
And if that one sinks well in our minds, we will not have a lot of difficulties, because there sometimes we take things so personal, to a point where when the message is rejected, you feel that you have been rejected. Even within our local communities, when we say, let's go and do door-to-door witnessing, you knock at this house, and then people inside are knocking. I mean, you can hear them, and then they're telling maybe a kid who has come to open the door, and they are saying, tell them we are not around. Tell them we are not around. And you can hear that. Meanwhile, you left home, you prayed and said, Lord, I'm going to share your word with different people that I don't know. And then there you are. You really feel out of, you know, you really feel out of place, and you feel you have been rejected. It is not you who has been rejected. It is the message that you are carrying that has been rejected, and not you. And so we find a consolation from the scriptures, which says, if they reject you, just dust off your shoes and leave, because they have rejected the owner of the message who you are representing. Yeah. So that could be my take. We are not the message.
Yes.
We are the messengers. The message is Jesus Christ himself, and we are just the conduits that God is using to be a blessing to others out there.
And I'm liking that, Pastor. In fact, we are being asked to do something here on the lesson, saying that think back to a time when you felt strongly that God was directing you to do something that you, out of fear, really, really, really didn't want to do. What lessons have you learned from that particular experience? I think it's something that all of us can reflect on, you know, Pastor, that hey, I was asked, for example, as me, I was, God said, go and be a radio broadcaster. I was like, oh, my English is not make sure, but here I am. Here I am, yeah. Pastor, I'm doing it. You know, so all of us, we have a certain fear once in a while, but then I'm loving it that you're saying that we must not succumb to that fear and know that this is God's work. So any closing words, Pastor, on today's, on the lessons from those particular, for Saturday and Sunday?
Okay, so I think we should really not have excuses on when we are on God's errand. Yeah, somebody could be arguing, probably you are saying so because you're a pastor and you actually paid for doing mission. Actually, the first call that we receive is to be a Christian, and the mission is given to every Christian. Being a pastor or elder or whatever, it is just an added responsibility. So we all respond to the first call. And that call, it is to come out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. And because you have this experience, you will always want to share that experience with others. Because you see, people are oppressed in addictions, drugs, alcohol, whatever form of addiction it would be. And so your experience of the grace of God in your life should be able to inspire you and motivate you to say, if God did it for me, he can also or someone else. I think being scared to go out for mission, to some degree, it also shows our levels of selfishness. Because when we are scared, we want to have self-pity. We have maybe little, or we have low self-esteem, where we are thinking, will they listen to me? We have this timidity. And sometimes it could be the evil one who does not want you to go out there and do God's work, and he will keep you busy. So my appeal really is that everybody should be involved regardless of where you are, and God wants you to do something. And that's the best way to go.
Indeed. Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that we may not have fear and we may do answer to God's call to mission?
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us that we may listen and share your word and encourage one another concerning mission. May you help us take responsibility now that we are Christians, that we will do your work because you have ordained it and sanctioned that we should be able to do it. Fill us with spirit that your spirit will fear, and knowing that there is a great reward that is awaiting all those that diligently align themselves with you. And Heavenly Father, we are longing for your soon return. May you please come and take us home. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. Till we chat again on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.